Matthew chapter 6, I have a challenge for the new year for you this morning. Matthew chapter 6, let's begin reading in verse 24. This, of course, is part of the Sermon on the Mount, very early in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Matthew is written primarily to Israel. Israel about the kingdom and presenting the kingdom to the nation of Israel. So, doctrinally, in that sense, there a lot of what is in here does not apply to us, but we can certainly take any passage of Scripture and make some personal application to ourselves, and this passage easily lends itself to that. He says here in Matthew 6 and verse 24, "No man can serve two masters." That's where a lot of our battle is right there. "For either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," money. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." So he makes this statement in verse 24, and then he says, "Therefore." Based upon what he's already said, that we can't serve two masters, and you can't serve God and wealth, he says, "Take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" That's what a lot of us are mostly concerned about, isn't it? How am I going to provide for myself and for my family? But he says, don't take thought of that. Verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns." You don't see them out there running combines and running tractors across the field and with all the barns and everything. "Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." Much to your consternation, oftentimes, right, Brian? Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why takest ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." This spring, as we begin to see the life coming back to all that's out there and the beauty of that, and he says, Solomon, all his glory doesn't compare to that. How God clothes his creation. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The calendar is turned, 12 new pages before us. And already there's probably some special events that have been marked in on them, and probably some appointments, and maybe some other plans that you have for this coming new year. How you hope to or maybe have to use some of those dates on the calendar already. Many of the events, many more events will be added to that. And some of them will be completely out of our control, unforeseen, unplanned. But nevertheless, will be etched in stone on that calendar. And many times we can sit and look at some of those things, And a bit of fear begins to creep into our hearts, and concern and wonder and worry about how we're going to do this or how we're going to accomplish that or what are we going to do when this happens. The whole point of this passage is that's not our problem. It's His. And that's a battle that we all struggle. I struggle with that. But we've got to learn to let it rest in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father that has no knowledge of all that we need before we even ask. And if He's taken care of all of His creation in such a magnificent way, these insignificant things like the grass that's going to be withered and just die, those beautiful flowers that spring up here in a few months and after a few days, they're gone. If God is concerned about how those things are cared for, He says, how much more we? How much more does He care for us, our Father? These things that are out of control and probably some unpleasant things are going to occur during the calendar year. And some things for rejoicing as well. But they're all in the hand of our Father who loves us more than we can even begin to imagine. He's in control of that calendar. And He will be with us throughout the entire year. He'll provide for us. He'll care for us. He'll direct us every step of the way. You know, Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says this, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Teach us to number our days. How to make the days count for Jesus Christ. It's in His hand. It's in His control. And He says, verse 33 again, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, food, clothing, housing, shall be added unto you." God says, "I'll take care of it." God take care of you guys when you wash your house? I mean, think about that. How God took care of them. They didn't have to live in a shack out in the woods somewhere. God took care of them pretty good. You think God can do that for you? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I want you to give you this very simple challenge this morning. It's nothing new, nothing profound, just the basics of how we can seek God in this coming year and make a day's count for Jesus Christ. The first thing is search the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 tells us this, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto Him. We're to be in the Scriptures. You know that just 15 minutes a day of reading will get you through the entire Bible in a year's time, from cover to cover. Every word here, just 15 minutes a day. Now, you say, "Well, I don't know, I've tried that and I just get bogged down." All right, well, just spend 15 minutes a day reading it, whether you try to read through it or not. I believe that this book has power to change our lives, to affect our lives, to improve our lives. This is a powerful force. This is like no other book on the face of the earth. This is one that's settled in heaven. It came down from heaven to us. And God has seen fit to preserve it for us. Shouldn't we spend some time in it? This is how God speaks to us. Maybe not the only way, but it is a predominant way in which God speaks to us. We need to spend some time in the Word of God. I challenge you, if you've never read it from cover to cover, to try to do that. But at least spend time in the Word of God every day. There's value in this thing. It's an opportunity to hear from Him. But let's look at some scriptures relating to that. Start with Joshua chapter 1. And yes, these probably are all very, very familiar with you, to you, but let's take the moment to read them anyway. Beginning with Joshua chapter 1. As Joshua has taken over the leadership of the people of Israel and about ready to lead them into the promised land, a land of Canaan. And God says this to him in verse 8 of Joshua 1. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And of course, he's just referring to the first five books, the books of Moses. The rest of it, maybe Job, the rest of it does not exist at this time. But he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Daily in the Word of God. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. There's some things that God expects for us to observe. You know, study to show yourself approved unto God. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. So the daily time in the Word of God and the observing to do what is written therein, he says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And wasn't that what Matthew chapter 6 was about? Food, clothing, housing. That's the prosperity of America. That people around the rest of this world, many have no idea what it's like to have three meals a day, to have a roof over their heads to protect themselves from the elements. But God says, you do this, and I'll make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And when we come to this point next year, don't we want to be able to look back on 2015 and say, that was a good year. God blessed. Some days counted for Him. He says it starts in the Word of God. Look at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Verse 1. This book, the longest chapter or longest book of the Bible, containing the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119. And he starts out with this: blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So he starts out and he says, here's what he doesn't do. Here's what he avoids and the type of influence, the companions, the counsel that he avoids. But, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Look at that. Two verses now. Prosperity has come into the picture, and it's associated with daily being in the Word of God. Being rooted down deep into that thing to help us to weather the storms of life. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Young men, you cleanse your way by the word of God. By taking heed to what's written in the word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. That daily meditation, not just reading, but taking it in, meditating day and night on that, letting that abide in your heart, hidden in your heart, to help to keep you from sin. When that temptation comes along, when the desire rises up to do something wrong, contrary to the Word of God, there's a scripture that says, thou shalt not. That's what the Word hidden in the heart will do for you, the Word of God. Go to John chapter 15. John 15. John 15, verse 3. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This book will get us clean and help to keep us clean before God. Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17. Faith, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You go to the Word of God, you become familiar with the Word of God, and you see what God has done in the past, how He's worked, and the principles that people have applied in their lives, and the benefit and the result of that. That's where our faith comes from, the Word of God. You want to increase your faith? Right there. That's it. And finally, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let it dwell richly, meditating therein day and night, not allowing it to depart from my heart. Be in the Word of God. And there's many, many other scriptures that we could add to this, but I hope you see the importance and the point of getting into the Word of God and letting the Word of God get into you and influence your actions and your decisions throughout the day. Secondly, this, we need to pray. There are a lot of things coming this year, I think. President Obama doesn't have another election to worry about, either for him or his party. And for the next 2 years, he's already made it clear he's got a pen and he's going to use that thing. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders. And yes, there's other things we need to do as well. But first and foremost, and above all else, we need to pray. If you don't do anything else, you need to pray for our country. We need to pray about who the next president will be. We need to pray that our congressman will have some guts to stand up to what our president intends to do. But we need to pray, folks. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he goes on to explain that. But the first, the important thing is think about what he said, that we ought to pray and not to faint. And you look at your own life at different times and you think, man, I messed up there. I fainted there. I shrank back from what I should have done there. Why? Probably because you didn't pray. Men ought to pray, always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city, in a city, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said it within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. He's an unjust judge. He's not concerned about justice. He's just tired of listening to this woman. That's the point. He wasn't concerned about doing right. But it was her insistence. Read on here. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. This is the parable that Jesus taught in regard to praying and not fainting. This example of this woman before this unjust judge. And he shall not, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? When Brother Stevens was here, one of the things that he challenged my heart about was the need to pray about everything. There's too often times, and I gave an example of my own life when I failed to do that thing with that hot water heater, you know, or not the, no, the dryer, that's what it was. Oh, I can hook this thing up. We prayed about it, and God provided that thing, and about a third of what a normal one would have cost and everything, and just exactly what Eileen wanted, and how great God answered that prayer. I just didn't pray about hooking the stupid thing up, and what should have been about an hour's work ended up to be about 6 or 8 hours. There's so many things we don't pray about, folks. Oh, I got this one. I can handle it. I've done this before, God. Okay, let's see about that. God wants us to pray about everything. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? I was leaning upon myself to get that thing hooked up. My faith was in myself and not in him. We need to pray, folks. Look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter is in prison. James has been executed. Peter's next. It says, Peter therefore is kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And you go on, you know the story that the angel came and woke him up, and just like the automatic doors in the store, the gates just opened before them as they walked out of the prison. Because prayer was made without ceasing by the church for Peter. We need to pray like that. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And boy, that's where I mess up a lot. Is prayer is not my first resort. It's usually after I'm in a big mess. God, I could use a hand here. I've been waiting for you to ask me. Instant in prayer. We need to pray, as I said, for our nation. We need to pray one for another. I think of Miriam and the things that she has gone through and the things that she is going through. And I'm just not at liberty to go into the details on some of those things, but folks, she needs a prayer. You know what? They don't have much. And there are some deficiencies mentally there as well. But she has been faithful. for about the past year. Let's pray for her and see the mighty hand of God work on her behalf. And others as well. Van and Bunny, the health needs that Bunny has, struggling with that thing. Amy, the health needs that she has. We need to pray for each other. And probably every one of us has probably got something we could bring up here this morning. We need to pray for one another. Pray for me. I need it. For the direction of that our church ought to go. For just what we need to be taught. What you need to be fed. Pray for me. And pray for the lost. We need to pray. We need to search the scriptures. Thirdly, we need to strive to see somebody saved. You know, God has done some amazing things with this church. We've seen some great victories and some people taken care of, needs met, and financially, I mean, I can't, you know, we couldn't be better off. But the one grief is the lack of souls saved. The one burden on my heart is that we're not seeing people saved. And I'm probably as much to blame or more than anyone. But we need to pray and seek to see someone saved this year. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30 says, "He that winneth souls is wise." Psalm 126 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come away rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." It's our responsibility to reach the lost. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God." God makes some changes when a person gets saved. Their life changes. There should be a hunger for this book as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. There should be a desire to communicate with our Heavenly Father and a faith and a trust in Him that He's going to respond and hear our prayers. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You don't have to pray about that. There's some things that I might ask somebody about. Well, would you be interested in serving as a deacon? Or would you be interested in serving as a Sunday school teacher? Well, let me pray about that. I understand that. I accept that. But as far as trying to reach somebody to Christ, that's not something to pray about. That's something we're commanded to do. Hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. As a child of God, as that new creature in Christ, all things are become new, and He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. As a child of God, I've got a responsibility to try to reach the lost for Christ. Verse 19, "To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." I'm His ambassador. You are His ambassador. And the lost people that we meet are the means by which God beseeches them to come to Him. That's our ministry, our responsibility. Look at Mark chapter 16. Just before Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven, He's got the disciples assembled there with Him. Over in Acts chapter 1, you read about that. They're there. They're told, after I depart, you're to go into the upper room. You're to wait there. You're to tarry for me. And just before he ascended up before their eyes, he said these words. And he said unto them, verse 15 of Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That was a command. We are to go. We are to take the message of salvation. So I'm challenging you now. Pray for God to bring someone your way for you to witness to, for them to be saved. Be ready for that opportunity. Be attentive to the Spirit's prompting you to speak to them or to give them a tract. We've got them on the back. And if we need more, we'll get more. If what's not there that you want, you let me know and we'll get what you want. But those tracts don't do any good sitting in the slots back there. We are to take those and give that message to others around us. We all have loved ones that are lost. Pray for them and strive to win them to Christ. We got pray for opportunities to speak to them. Pass out the tracts to the people you meet, to coworkers. Obviously, at times you have to be discerning about that. But give them out. When you go to a restaurant, when you leave a tip, leave a tract. And don't be stingy about it. You know the worst day for a waitress to work is Sunday? The church crowd? They're the worst tippers. That's a shame. Well, they get paid. Not much. You ought to leave at least 15, if not 20%. 10% doesn't cut it anymore, folks. And especially if you're leaving a tract. And you should leave a tract, so tip generously. A lot of times the problem isn't the waitress, it's somebody else there, and you're shorting her or him for what somebody else has done. But give out tracts, the clerks you meet, where you shop, and coworkers, all give them out. Get the Word of God out. Look for opportunities to give out the gospel. You know, just handing a tract, say, here, would you please read this when you get a chance? I know sometimes that's intimidating. But it's not as intimidating as actually trying to talk to them. But it might open the door to do that. But we're supposed to be giving out the gospel. God has left us here as His ambassadors to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. And I think that's one of the greatest problems in America today is that Christians have failed to live up to the calling of God that we have in our lives. And so we got all these wicked, unsaved people around because we haven't been doing our job. If more people get saved and live for God, this country will be a lot different than it is. And that's back on us. That's our responsibility. Because we've seen, oftentimes it doesn't matter who you elect. They get down there and they get blinded. They get sucked into the culture down there. And suddenly they're not doing what we thought they were going to do. We need to see people saved. Their lives changed. Strive to see somebody saved this year. And finally, I challenge you to seek an avenue to serve. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. How is your life counting for God? What are you doing to serve the one who loved you, who died to take away your sins, who saved you from an eternity in hell? How is He being glorified in your life? The church is certainly a place for believers. It's for a place for believers to be taught and to grow. But then look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting verse 8 of Ephesians 4, he says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things." But that's a parenthesis, see? So you can kind of take that out, and he says, he ascended up on high, he led captivity unto men, and he gave, verse 11, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. God gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints. That's what this is about here today. Not about reaching the lost for Christ. The primary purpose is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. You're to be perfected to perform the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. And certainly part of that is that ministry of reconciliation as an ambassador of Christ. But then he says, verse 13, "Till we all come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." All corporately together coming to this, in this unity of faith. Growing in that knowledge, grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." To grow to the point where false doctrine doesn't affect you because you know the true. You know what the Word of God says. And you can discern the truth from the error. So you're not deceived by that. You've been perfected. You've grown. And then in verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, might grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which the pastor and the deacons supply," and Sunday school teachers, no, "which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." We've all got a part to play. And certainly that part varies. But we all have a part to play. Over in 2 Corinthians 12, we talked about the body. And the various aspects of, no, 1 Corinthians 12, excuse me, the various aspects of the body. One's an eye, one's a foot, one's a hand. It all works together as one body, which every joint supplies something. The hand doesn't do the same thing that the eye does. The foot doesn't do the same thing that the ear does. But they all have a role to fulfill. And that's so it is with the church. I believe God's put you here. The question is, what did He put you here for? Just to take up space? No. For every part to supply. So, what's God desire for you to do? What is your role? What is your contribution? Could be cleaning the church, working in children's church. You know, that need that the Ottos left this still needs to be fulfilled. To take a turn for a month in children's church, or teaching in Sunday school, or you know, Gary and Charlene have a ministry at the nursing home every Sunday evening down here at Salem Hills. Maybe God would have you to start another one somewhere or some other type of ministry like that. God's called us to the ministry, to serve Him. And how in this coming year does God want to use you to seek that avenue that you might serve Him? Strive to see someone saved. Pray and get into the Word of God. Let's go to Hebrews 12. One more passage of Scripture here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Paul says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." In this coming year, may you seek to serve Him acceptably. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, in this new year, help us each to spend some time before You seeking Your direction and Your will in our lives of how You would like to use us. And I know that many are involved and many are involved in many, many ways. And some could use some help in what they're doing. There may be other ministries that you would like to start through this church. Just waiting for that person to step forward and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And Lord, maybe there is a need for this room that's available to us now, that's just waiting for that one to step forward to fulfill that need, to take on that ministry that would fill that room and make use of it more than just a few times a year that we can see that it would be needed now. God, help each of us to be searching our hearts for what You desire for us, to make our days this year count for You. Help us, God, to get into Your Word and let it speak to us and mold us and make us into the image of Jesus Christ. God, help us to give ourselves unto prayer continually, always in everything. And oh God, may we see some souls saved in this coming year as well. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.